Blog Talk Radio.
Praise the Lord, praise the Lord. God bless you on this blessed Friday. This is Brother Nathaniel Hunt with the Church Christ Eliza Message on the broadcast titled Jesus Word, the Midnight Cry Broadcast. The phone number is 515-605-9887. That's 515-605-9887. If you have any prayer requests, I pray with you. If you have any question about the lesson, I do my best in the Lord Jesus to answer for you. If you have any comments, I ask that you limit it to a minute and a half to 2 minutes. And if you're calling to get information on how to obtain copy of the messages that the Lord Jesus has been sending thus far through his angel messenger, we will get that to you as well. And for those of you that don't like doing over the air, contact me, Nathaniel Hunt, 1971@gmail.com. That's Nathaniel Hunt, 1971@gmail.com. And I will get back to you. Amen. So without further ado, for those of you that's listening, I ask if you would join in with me in prayer. Let us pray. Most gracious God, once again, we humble ourselves this day and we come before you to acknowledge that you are God. And besides you, there is no other. And dear Lord, we pray today that as we assemble together once again to go into the word of God this day, we pray, Lord, that you will help us to get the revelation of your word, to understand what you're saying to us and how that we can make ourselves more pleasing unto you, to serve you in righteousness and truth. And dear Lord, just to understand your plan in Jesus' name. So, Father, we thank you for the Holy Ghost being with us because you said where two or three are gathered together in your name that you will be in the midst. And therefore, Lord, we know that you are here to make good on your word. So, Father, we thank you. Lord, we glorify you. And, Lord, we lift you up. In Jesus' name, amen. Glory be to God. Today, this Friday, which is dedicated thus far to another series here that we're on, I'm going to open up with a scripture from one of God's books called The Word of the Lord, which is the word of the Lord Jesus Christ that he had been sending through his angel messenger, September 2nd, 1931, for the 27th time, which is referred to as the 27th message. Amen. And I want to read one of these verses out of this message that contains 15 verses. And I want to read one of these verses, which will be verse number 12. Amen. And the word of God says, beware, be careful in your travels, for Satan will seek to destroy and hinder the Lord's work that I told you to do. Now, if I go any further, I think we need to take heed to that, people, especially in this day and time we're living in. We're noticing, especially here in America, the mass shootings that's going on. Now, this is not to have people in fear, but the Lord tell us to beware. Beware. Watch out. Look, be careful in your travels. You know, many times we jump up and just want to go anywhere, and we don't even ask the Lord anything, okay? And you find out also that there are some places you don't need to go to, okay? Some places you could step on cursed ground, okay? And so he goes on to say, this is a time of turmoil and distress. Now, that's true. For Satan will send destruction everywhere. Build ye upon the foundation Christ has laid. We're told as Christians. Now, we got to understand that the Lord is talking to Christians, and he's telling Christians to build upon the foundation Christ has laid. He's not telling sinners. Sinners first got to accept Christ as Lord, okay? They can't of their own, per se, build on the foundation Christ laid because their spirit is not regenerated. So here, this word goes to the spirit of those who have been regenerated or born again. And Christ said, build upon the foundation he has laid. Not the foundation that your granddaddy or your grandmama laid, not the foundation that your grandmama and granddaddy church laid, but on the foundation Christ laid. Because what Christ is saying, that this foundation is going to be the foundation that will sustain you as the storms and winds come and blow harder and harder. This foundation will keep you in Christ, because we must understand that Satan is challenging the people of God in a greater way, to the extent that he wants to destroy you completely, not just physically, but spiritually. He wants you to fall away from Christ. And the Lord is letting us know that if we don't build upon the foundation that he has laid, then there's a very good chance that Satan will succeed against us. You understand that? Now, he said, build upon the foundation Christ has laid. Now, let's go to the Bibles. If you have your Bibles by you, let's go to Hebrews chapter 6. And for those of you that say, well, no, I don't have a Bible, if you got a pencil and piece of paper, I ask that you write this down, because I want you to go back to the Lord with it. Now, I do understand that some of you that's listening to this broadcast is not going to do that. And then I understand that some of you perhaps will. My prayer is, first of all, the souls that are listening will hear. And any soul that has on their mind to say, hey, I'm just going to listen to this, I ain't going to worry about writing nothing down, I pray that the Lord Jesus get a hold of you. Because some of you is taking the word of Christ for granted. Some of you is looking at the word of Christ as, quote, entertainment. But the word of Christ is real and it's serious. The word of Christ is the difference between life and death. It is life. And if we don't follow the word of Christ, we won't make it. Now, Hebrews chapter 6, verse 1 and 2, the word of God says in Hebrews chapter 6, verse 1 and 2, he said, therefore, leaving the principles of the doctrine of Christ, let us go on to perfection, not laying again the foundation of repentance from dead works and of faith toward God, of the doctrine of baptisms, and of the laying on of hands, and of the resurrection of the dead, and of eternal judgment. Now, today, these Fridays thus far is dedicated to the series, The Midnight Cry, Foundation, Repentance. This is part two. And last Friday, we looked in part one about repentance, understanding that not only does it involve a changing of the mind and expressing of remorse, but it also involves you turning away from the thing that is sin. That's what God is letting us understand. And some of God's people are very good at, quote, expressing remorse, but would not turn away from committing the thing. And if when that's happening with us, we're still, quote, under the curse. Whatever curse that comes from that sin, it still will have a hold on us. You understand that? Unless we turn away from the thing. Plus, we come to understand that when you're just expressing the remorse and not turning away from the thing, then you are, we're not fully repenting, okay? Yes, we're using the lip service, and that's part of it, expressing the remorse, the sorrow. But once again, another part is also turning away from the act that's being committed. So if you're saying, I'm sorry, but you continually still keeping the act, committing the act, no stopping, no breaking or nothing, then guess what? You really have not fully repented. Amen. So we're looking at today the foundation of repentance. This is of the foundation that Christ told us to build upon, okay? Now, you will be surprised how some of God's people don't see the need, as some of them think, to really build their lives on repenting. Now you say, well, why is that, Brother Nate? Well, one of the reasons is, and this is the topic of what we're going to look at today in repentance, that some of them believe that, hey, I'm saved now. I'm all right with God. I don't have to repent. Now, understand this. We had to repent in order to accept Christ as Lord, to turn to him. But repentance don't stop there. Our walk in Christ has to be founded on repentance. So when there are any sins committed, that repentance has to be exercised. Now, this is what we're looking at today concerning repentance, the foundation of repentance, okay? Amen. That, hallelujah, Jesus, now I want you to hear this closely. We're going to go to Luke chapter 24, verse 47. And this is what we're looking at today, Luke chapter 24 and verse 47. Amen. And here's the message of repentance today. The Lord Jesus is calling for all, A-L-L, not some, not a few, not many, but he's calling for all men to repent. I think I'm going to say that again. The Lord Jesus Christ is calling not for a few, not for many, not for some, but for all men to repent. And get this, it doesn't matter where you at. You say, what do you mean? Whether you're here in the United States or way over there in Israel, okay? It doesn't matter where you at. Let me go a little deeper. Whether you are in Christ or whether you are out of Christ. Hallelujah. It doesn't matter where you at. Now, here's the thing. You do have some sinners. When you talk about repenting, they look at you, I'm a good person. I don't need to repent. I'm all right. I'm a good person. But on the other side, you do have some Christians who think the same way. And their thought process is this. I have already accepted Jesus as Lord. I'm born again. I don't need to repent. Now, I share with you guys on one broadcast that when I had come to the Lord and I had been in the Lord, I was working in a grocery store. And I think I've been saved like a year or two. And it was a group of people who were proclaiming to be Christians coming to the store. And they're coming to, I guess you could say, witness to us, me and some other people. But I was on the aisle, I think, by myself. And they come and talking to me, okay? And, you know, they asked me, was I saved and all that, and I told them, yeah. And so one of them said, you know, yeah, you don't have to repent anymore. You don't have to. I said, wait a minute. I said, so you telling me I can sin, not to repent? No, you don't have to because you're saved and you're covered in the blood. I said, whoa, wait a minute. Oh, I couldn't get with that. I couldn't get with that. And that is the mentality of some Christians. When it comes to the sinner man, some of them turn their nose up, tell that sinner man, hey, you need to repent. You need to get your life right. You need to do this and that. And in one sense, they're right. But when they're committing the sin, there are excuses. Now, the Lord let us know in the word of God. Last week, we looked at from the word of God that when Jesus is telling us to repent, it's connected to dealing with sin. So sin does not change what it is or the curse it brings just because you're saved. And God is calling for all men to repent. Now look at Luke chapter 24, verse 46 and 47. Luke chapter 24, verse 46 and 47. The word of God says, and said unto them, this is what Jesus said, thus it is written, and thus it behooved Christ to suffer and to rise from the dead the third day. And that repentance and remission of sins should be preached in his name among where? Some nations or a few nations? Or wait a minute, many nations? No, he said all nations, beginning at Jerusalem, at the center place, at the place where God, ancient covenant people, was at beginning with them. Okay? Hallelujah. Glory to God. So notice that the Lord wants this message of repentance to go out, and it goes to what? All nations. Not a few nations. All nations, okay? Where he's calling all men to repent. Amen. He's not picking out just, say, Israel and telling Israel to repent and not America. You know, here in America, many of us, we are so lifted in pride because so many people, including people in other nations, have bragged on us so strong. In fact, they bragged on us to a point that they let you know on TV, hey, I want to move to America, to America. And so we've become so lifted in pride that we think that whatever we do is okay with God. And you see now in this nation, we're doing more and more booting out Jesus in whatever our lives consist of. And we think that this nation is going to continue to prosper after we continually to boot Jesus out. Well, we're in for a rude awakening. Amen. And see, when you see that he said beginning at Jerusalem, where his ancient covenant people, look at it even deeper, beginning with his people, his spiritually covenant people, those who have received Jesus Christ, who have become the children of Abraham by faith, you know, it should begin with us, the repentance, and giving it out to the other nations. But see, hallelujah, God is calling all his people or all mankind, because all mankind is not his people, but all mankind, including those of his people and those who not, to repent. Because I'm here to tell you, Christian man or Christian woman that's listening and is lifted in pride, the same curse that would destroy the sinner, that curse would destroy a Christian. You get that? Just like in the sinner, sin and open up a curse for a sickness or disease that's fatal to come on him or her, a Christian can do the same thing. Commit a sinful act that can open up a door of curses, of fatal sickness to come on them, to kill them. Do you get what I'm saying? So as Christians, we need to lay off this pride thing and thinking that we can just do whatever and not repent. Okay? This is why some of God's people in these last days are going to be in for a rude awakening. Because they've been spending their life in Christ, not repenting, and they think that they're going to enter the clouds of glory. Going to be shell-shocked. Going to be shell-shocked. Hallelujah. Glory be to God. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Amen. So it should even start, glory, with believers and even going to unbelievers. Okay? And going throughout the world. Why is this? Well, let's look at Romans 3:23 right quick. Romans 3:23. Romans 3:23. Now look what the word of God says. Romans 3:23. The word says, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. He said, all have sinned. All have sinned and fall short of glory. That would include those of the house of Israel and those who are not. Amen. You said, well, why do you say that? Well, look at verse 9 in the same chapter. He said, what then? Are we better than they? No, in no wise. For we have before proved both Jews and Gentiles that they are all under sin. Okay. You know, the Jews was of the house of Israel. And if you wasn't of the house of Israel, you was a Gentile. Okay. Now, if you go even deeper today spiritually, Romans chapter 2, which talks about He said that circumcision is that of the heart. That's chapter 2, Romans chapter 2, verse 29, when he talks about, but he is a Jew, which is one inwardly, and circumcision is that of the heart in the spirit and not in the letter. Talking about a spiritual Jew, the one that has accepted Christ. So if we look even deeper, this word of repentance goes to the saved and the unsaved. All men to repent. You understand what I'm saying? Among the believers, we need to repent in general for being separated. Now, the sinner man needs to repent in accepting Christ as Lord and coming to Christ. But we, I mean, as Christians, if we sit here and act like, I really ain't got nothing to repent of, we missing it. We missing it. We're separated. We been against one another. You name it. Okay? And we need to repent of that. Thank you, Jesus. Let's go to Acts chapter 17. Acts chapter 17. Acts chapter 17. Verse 29 and 30. Acts chapter 17, verse 29 and verse 30. And look what the word of God said. For as much then as we are the offspring of God, we ought not to think that the Godhead is like unto gold or silver or stone graven by art and man's device. So the Godhead is not something created by man. It's not something that can corrode and break down. Even though in the Old Testament, they were looking at some things and looking at it as it, quote, being the Lord per se. Because look at this. It said in verse 30, and the times of this ignorance God winked at, but now commanded all men everywhere to repent. Now, what did he mean by wink that? Well, the original Greek word for wink means to overlook, that is, not punish, okay? Because man was unregenerated, okay? And God had to deal with men, especially through his flesh. You get that, okay? The Spirit of the Lord would come on certain ones to anoint him to do a particular task at that particular time. But see, the Lord had to deal with man. And leading man, in a sense, is like through his dealing with his flesh, okay, things that you see, and God had mercy, you know, on him, okay? Hallelujah. Glory be to God. Thank you, Jesus. Because, you know, you had what was called the Ark of the Covenant that they protected. But, you know, the Ark of the Covenant really wasn't God. You understand what I'm saying? Yes, it was consecrated unto God, but it really wasn't God. And man, even that time, would look at objects being God, okay? Yeah, you know, they look at this. But see, God said, and during this time, he said man was in ignorance, and he winked at that. He overlooked. There's things that God overlooked and didn't punish for, okay? He said, but now he command what? All men everywhere to repent. Hallelujah. Glory. All men. Why? Because see, Jesus had provided so for the Spirit to dwell in all who receive him, to put one on the right track of who the Godhead really is. Okay? But like I said, in the Old Testament, you know, man was not regenerated. And they was more of the servants of God and the ancient covenant people of God. But this day we live in, when you accept Christ, you ain't just known as a servant. You known as a child of God. And the Spirit of the living God that came on upon a few in the Old Testament now dwells in the spirit of every believer that accept Christ as Lord, which will reveal to you what the Lord, the Godhead, our Father really is. And will point out to you, graven art that you see made is really not him. You get that? Hallelujah. Glory to God. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Now, I want to go to another book of God's word called the Record of Nephi. And this will be what is called the third book of Nephi in the Record of Nephi book, verse 31 and 32. Now, I know many of you don't have the Record of Nephi, but I ask that you just give me your attention as I read these words. Amen. Hallelujah. Of Jesus Christ when he came over here to visit the Nephites after he resurrected. Okay. And I want you to hear what he says. He said, "Behold, verily, verily, I say unto you, I will declare unto you my doctrine," or in other words, my teaching. "And this is my doctrine, and it is a doctrine which the Father have given unto me, and I bear record of the Father, and the Father bear record of me, and the Holy Ghost bear record of the Father and me." Okay? So remember, that's why they all one. Remember in 1 John chapter 5, verse 7, and the Bible said the Father, the Word, and the Holy Ghost, these three are one, or in other words, one of another. Okay? And one of the things they do is that's why they bear record of one another. Now, he goes on to say, "And the Holy Ghost beareth record of the Father in me, and I bear record that the Father commanded all men everywhere to repent and believe in me." Everywhere, okay? Once again, God is calling for repentance everywhere. He ain't calling for just one nation, okay, or for just one group of people. You know, because see, people make up their own things. They need to repent. But they don't have to repent themselves. You get that? And like I told you, there are some Christians who do carry that kind of mentality that, hey, sinner man, you need to repent. But these same Christians could be stealing, committing adultery, drunkenness. They can be doing all of that. And their pride tells them, say, you ain't got to repent. You're a child of God. But that sinner man needs to repent because he ain't accepted Christ as Lord. But once again, sin is sin. Sin does not change what it is because you are saved. And get this, the Lord doesn't look at it that way either. I mean, in other words, if the sinner man steals and then the Christian man steals, the Lord is not going to say, well, there's nothing wrong with that Christian man stealing, but it's wrong with a sinner man stealing. That's not gonna work, people. Because remember, the Lord is a just God. You know, you have to even be just with the devil. People are like, what you talking about? That's the devil. How you? No, because see, in the Lord's nature, there's no deception. You know, like some of you would say, well, I say this, you do a lowdown to a lowdown. No. That's not the Lord's way, okay? You know, just like people here on earth, with some of them, if you lie on them, they believe, okay, let me lie on you. You believe it? You understand what I'm saying? And so our Lord's nature is not like that, okay? You know, he don't operate in deception. Deception is not in his nature. So he calls men everywhere to repent. And once again, it shows that our God is not biased or prejudiced. Okay? He's none of that. He didn't say just all black men or all white men or just all Chinese. He said all men. Okay? Amen. And you would think, as a Christian, the Lord shouldn't have to put it that way. But see, I can see why he had to make it clear, all men. Because some Christians would choose certain men to say they need to repent. Okay? I'm telling you, they would choose certain men. Just like you got certain Christians today who think that they're the only Christians here on this earth, that they're the only ones God used, that God doesn't use no other Christian, okay, and they're the only ones. So you got some Christians that think like that. See, their thought process is like the Jews. Remember the
The Jews thought that salvation only belongs to them and no one else. Well, you got some Christians today who think that they the only ones that the Lord is using, that he can't use anyone else. I know some of y'all thinking I'm being far-fetched, but I'm telling you, that's the truth. Some of them actually believe that. Amen. Lord, have mercy. Lord, have mercy. Because I want you to understand, as a Christian, your lack of repentance, when you commit a sin and it opened the door for the curse, your mentality that you don't have to repent will keep you bound with that curse. Because God is not going to automatically, quote, break that curse without you repenting. That's why repentance is required, okay? It's required. Amen. In fact, that's one of the things that's required to break a curse off our life, is to repent. Whatever the curse may be, any door that you have opened, okay, and all of us as Christians are subject to this, you know, subject to missing and open doors, okay, because I've come to see that some Christians think they can't do that. That they can't open doors. They just, you know, some of them believe that when you tell them that they have an open door, that you're telling them they don't have faith per se. Because see, the first thing they do in the act of defense, when you even ask them if a sickness or something has them bound, and you even ask them, said, "Do you have any open doors?" They get offended real quick. No, I believe God. I don't, you know. Amen. And not everybody has not exercised, and when I say everybody, I'm talking about Christians for this moment here. Every Christian have not exercised faith in every area of his life. You understand what I'm saying? There are some areas in our life that we haven't really fully exercised faith in that we need to. Okay, that we need to. So, you know, if you decide as a Christian that these curses that's hitting you, which could result from open doors, if you decide that, hey, I'm a Christian, I ain't got to repent, then that curse is going to remain. And remember, in Deuteronomy 28, the Lord said not only would this curse come upon you, but he said this curse would overtake you. So in other words, of your own strength, you will not be able to whoop it. In other words, the Lord is letting you know of your own strength, it will be too strong for you. In order for it to overtake you, it had to be that it would be too strong. Okay? And too many people of God's people and trying to dodge repentance and think that they can whoop a curse with their own strength, and it's not happening. In fact, they're getting whooped down each time, and they're like, well, Lord, where are you? What are you doing? Why are you not talking? And there's times that God had already sent a word and told them to repent, and they wouldn't do it. Wouldn't do it. Hallelujah. Amen. So really, the Lord is just waiting for you to repent. Now, let's go back into one of God's other books, the Word of the Lord. Jesus sent this word out July 15, 1972. This message is called the 91st message. Got 49 verses. I want to read one of these verses. It's verse 6 from the Word of the Lord. And remember, the Word of the Lord is the modern-day Word of Christ. So when you read all the messages of the Word of the Lord, now one time when you read that Christ said, well, you don't have to repent. Repentance has been done away with. You're not going to read that, okay? Amen. And see, I shared with you guys on a broadcast a while back that the Lord revealing to me that these messages also speaks to controversies that's been going on among the body of believers. Not among the other religions now, but among the body of believers, because it has caused a separation. This is why in the message, the Lord told his instructors, angels, to tell us that he said that I come that may all Christendom may what? Flow together. So every believer that receives this word of the Lord is going to come together. You understand that? And no matter what color or race or gender you are, you're going to come together. Okay? Now, in this 91st message, 6th verse, the Lord says to his angel messenger, my warning message is, now listen to this closely, let all men everywhere come repentant before the Lord, cry mightily unto him that they might find deliverance. Now, before I go any further, he said, my warning message. Repentance is a warning message. When the Lord sends repentance to us, a message of repentance, it is a warning message. That means that I'm warning you that you need to do this thing or something is going to happen. I remember it was this particular sister here in town, and I know she used to work at the insurance place. And so one day she started going house to house, and so she comes to my house, first time she ever come there, and she said, Nathaniel, can I talk to you about what the Lord had given me? And he, you know, and so she asked me, could she come in? I let her come in, and we sat down, and she actually stayed in my house, I think about an hour talking. And she started telling me, said, Nathaniel, the Lord gave me this. And she started telling me that the Lord gave her the message of repentance to tell, but he sent her to go to all the pastors to tell them, you know, preach repentance in Durant, to the people in Durant. But see, that was a warning message. And so after she did that, I know about a couple years or so went by, and I just knew in my spirit, I said, something's going to happen. I said, I knew in my spirit when she was telling me that, yes, the Lord told her that. I knew that some of the men of God didn't really receive the message from her. And so I think a couple of years or so went by, and I just knew, I said, the Lord ain't going to send that warning message and nothing don't happen. It's a warning message. So repentance is a warning message. Well, we ended up having a tornado hit. I think that was like a couple of years after she went out, the message. And it did, since I've been living here in Mississippi, the worst damage I ever seen in Durant. Okay. And get this, thank God that the tornado really didn't fully touch down. If it would have probably wiped Durant out. Okay. Once again, I say that to say this, that the message of repentance is a warning message. Now, he goes on to say, except they repent, they cannot be redeemed or delivered from that awful state. But the way of redemption is prepared that whosoever will may walk therein and be saved. So the Lord prepared the way of redemption to be delivered from curses. And in that preparation, it involves repenting. Now, once again, if you just feel like, hey, I ain't got to repent, and I'm all right and I'm good, then I'm going to see how far that takes you, which is not going to be very far, okay? But we're going to watch and see how far that will take you. Amen. So this warning message goes to all men. Yes, it goes to your favorite uncle, the one that's outside of Christ, who you're real close to, always reading the funny papers, always cracking jokes to you, who you said that's my best uncle, yeah, the word of repentance go to him too. He haven't accepted Christ. You may have, but he haven't. He's not getting a free exemption because you have. Parents, your children is not getting a free exemption because you have. Especially when they're at the age of accountability or they're grown. And some of you as parents think that the child's supposed to automatically get in. Remember in the Bible, I think it was the mother of Zebedee's children, when she asked Jesus, grant that my two sons, one to sit on your left and one to sit on your right. She was trying to get easy access, okay? Give her children easy access without them having to come through the proper channels to come that way. And Jesus said, you know, he had to let her know, you don't know what you're asking. Amen. Lord help us. It's big time serious, people. Christ's message to the nations, to all nations, is repent. Repent. To all nations, to all people, the Lord says, repent. Thank you, Jesus. No matter what color you are, no matter where you live, the Lord says, repent. Repent. America alone has a lot of things she's going to have to repent for. You look at today, one of the things that been a argument today, and I think that one state here in the United States, I think they went and overturned that freedom for abortion thing, which got a lot of people in the hoopla and upset. But see, abortion is murder. Okay? Abortion is murder, people. Lord said thou should commit no murders. Abortion is murder. And for all those babies, I think it's been like, what, 63 million babies aborted? America is going to have to give an account of that. Killing innocent children. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. I thank God for the precious word. In Jesus' name, he's worthy to be praised, and he's worthy to be glorified. Glory be to God. Let us pray. Father, we thank you. In the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord, for this blessed day in Christ Jesus. And I thank you, Lord, opportunity you've given me to share your word with the people. And I pray, dear Lord, that those that were seeking truth have found. I pray that you will water the seed that I've sown and bring forth the increase for your glory. So, Heavenly Father, I thank you. I magnify you. I glorify you. In the name of Jesus, you're so worthy to be praised. In Jesus' name, amen. I thank God for another broadcast. I thank God for all you've been listening. The Lord said the same. I'll be back with one again tomorrow. Look for the advertisements then. So once again, this is Brother Nate with the Church Christ Eliza message on the broadcast, Jesus' Word, the Midnight Cry broadcast. May the Lord bless you. May he keep you. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless.